We want to continue our thoughts in the book of Galatians. This morning I want us to read verses 9 through 14, the promised blessing of Abraham. There was a time when only the nation of Israel could enjoy the blessings of a heavenly kingdom. And now the Lord Jesus Christ made it possible for us Gentiles to be included in that heavenly blessing. And in verse 9 it says, "So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." This passage deals with a lot of things pertaining to the law. And one of the things that we find in verse 10 has to do with the curse of the law. Reading it again, it says here, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So this is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26 from the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament translated into Greek. Often we think about if we're under the works of the law, we're cursed, we're not saved. But this is not dealing with salvation. This is dealing with saved people, because the law was given to Moses and to the nation of Israel, which were the children of God. So the curse of the law has to do with the curse associated with the land and the people in the land. So Paul is appealing to their Jewish heritage, that if you place yourself under the law, you're also placing yourself under the curse of the law. Now, what was the curse of the law? Well, we find in Deuteronomy 28 some of it. There are a lot of verses in the Old Testament that deal with the curse of the law. But for the sake of time, I try to pick out some that would come to the point, where it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." In other words, by the way, the just are the ones who hearken or listen to the Lord thy God. And those that are becoming unjust, there was a contrast here, is what I'm trying to show. If you won't listen to the law, you're unjust. If you listen to the law and you do it, then you are just. So it goes on, "to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee," that is the unjust, "and overtake thee." In other words, you're not going to get away from these curses. You're under the law, you disobey me, you become unjust, you're going to experience these curses. And what are they? Well, you're going to be cursed in the city and cursed in the field. In other words, where you're living in Israel, now this is talking about in the land of flowing with milk and honey, and the land just outside the land flowing with milk and honey. These curses are associated with the land and the cities within the land. So you're going to be cursed in the city and you're going to be cursed in the field. You're going to be cursed. Cursed be thy basket and thy store. In other words, your basket's going to have holes in them, and your storehouses are going to have mice in them. In other words, they're not going to keep the things that you put, you know, your harvest is going to be in there. And you're not going to be successful in your city. Your taxes are going to go up. I guess we could say that we're under that curse now, but I'm just thinking about our state, our property tax. Our property tax has gone up 500% since I've been living in our house. Oh well. The Lord's the one's paying the bill, so I'm just thankful that He's doing that. But anyway, let's continue. In verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. In other words, you're not going to have very many children, not as many as you would like to have. And the fruit of your land isn't going to be bearing much fruit. And the increase of your animals, in other words, your flocks, we're not going to have very many. And their cattle, and of course your sheep are going to be few. It says, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now, this again has to do with the land. You put yourself under the law, you're going to put yourself under the curse of the law. And what happened to the nation of Israel when they rebelled against God? What happened? They were dispersed. In fact, they are still, the nation of Israel is still under the curse of the Mosaic Law. They have been dispersed in all the nations. So if we put ourselves under the curse of the law, under the law, we're under that curse. But I do have some good news a little later in our verse, in our chapter. It says that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We are not under this curse. Thank God for that. So let's continue. He goes on in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You put yourself under the law, you cannot be justified by just keeping the law. In Romans chapter 8 verse 33 through 34, we see what it means to be justified. This verse to me is a very important a pair of verses, because it defines justification. Justification, if you're justified, you're not chargeable. You don't have to go to court, so to speak, because you haven't been given a ticket by the officer. So let's read it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. If you're justified, you're not chargeable. Who is he that condemneth? In other words, who is he that will sentence a justified person to outer darkness? Nobody. You can't sentence somebody that's not guilty. Or at least, he may be guilty, but it's been taken care of. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of it through our confession of that sin. If you won't confess a sin, you're going to be chargeable for that sin. That it comes into the area of lawlessness. Now, why is this possible? Continuing in verse 34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather. The emphasis is not on the first part of this sentence, but on the last part of this sentence. If Christ Jesus only died and wasn't raised from the dead, every one of us would be chargeable, because we would still be living under the power of sin. Because without the resurrection and the intercessory office of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no power over sin. You're going to... I was just reading, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Read that in Proverbs. But I checked in the margin, and it says, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Now, can you imagine just lighting a lamp in your house? That's even more pungent, isn't it? I mean, going out and working in your fields, one thing, that's a lot of hard work. But just lighting your lamp, that's a sin for the wicked. But anyway, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen. And what that means is this, so that faith will work. 1 Corinthians 5:14 tells us that if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And in that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Christ be not risen, you're still in your sins. Saved? Yes. Why can we say that we are saved and yet in our sin? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross so I could be saved. But he was raised from the dead so that I could be justified, unchargeable. Okay, let's continue. Now, there are those that can be... who are those that are chargeable? Well, Luke 1:16 tells us in Luke 1:6, excuse me, and they are both righteous, that is, Elizabeth and Zechariah, are both righteous or just before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. We find that here are two faithful servants of the Lord who are just because they have been faithful or blameless in walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Now, today, the ordinances are no longer relevant because they were nailed on the cross when Jesus Christ died in Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So the ordinances have been removed, but the commandments have not. The commandments of the Lord are still in place. The Mosaic ceremonial laws have been nailed to the cross. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth were just. And being just, under the new covenant, they were chargeable. Being just is not enough. And we know that they are chargeable because of Luke 17:10. So likewise ye, talking to his disciples, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. Did Zacharias and Elizabeth do all the things that were commanded them? Yes, they were blameless. He says, if you've done everything that you've been commanded, you're just. And this is what you say about yourself. You need to admit this to yourself. We're unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. If you're just, you're chargeable. And you know what the charges are? An unprofitable servant. That's a charge. So you need to do more than being just. You got to be just. You sure can't live in sin and live by faith. So the just are the ones that are capable or able to live by faith. Now let's continue. If you've done that which is your duty to do, you're chargeable. You're an unprofitable servant. And the sentence is found in Matthew 25. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness is not hell. It doesn't tell us where outer darkness is. All it does for me, I don't care where it is. You know why? I don't want to go there. It doesn't make any difference if it's on the moon. I still don't want to go there. You know why? Because there's weeping and gnashing of teeth in that place. Why? Because I'm an unprofitable servant. Why am I an unprofitable servant? Well, because I only did what God commanded me to do. And that makes me an unprofitable servant. If you only do what God commands you to do, you haven't pleased Him. You're an unprofitable servant. Now, how do we please Him? Well, I'm getting ahead a little bit here, but in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And you sure can't live by faith if you're not just. Okay? You do have to keep the commandments. That's required. Because you can't be living in sin and live by faith. Okay? Now, Galatians 3:12 tells us, and the law is not of faith. Man, that's pretty blank. Pretty blunt. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. The ceremonial law. As well as just simply the law pertaining to the commandments. Neither one can be associated with faith. Now obviously the Mosaic law is over with. They were nailed to the cross. But the commandments that God gave us are still in place and we need to obey them. But if we just do the law, that's not of faith. If we obey the law, if we obey the commandments, that's not of faith. So, what is it telling us? The law is not of faith in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you are doing works of the law or any other kind of works apart from faith, what are you doing? You're living in sin. It's sin. And so therefore, thou shalt not kill, that's important. But if that's all you do, if you don't kill somebody, or you don't lie, or you don't steal, or you don't do other evil things, you're still in sin. Because there's no faith there. You're not pleasing God. Now let's continue. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 9, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I believe the drawing back here is from faith. Still having moral character, integrity, but he stopped pleasing God. He has departed from the faith. That is the drawing back from the faith. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's the reason why I believe it has to do with faith. Because it's the guy that draws back from whatever it is, and I believe it's faith, the Lord's not going to have any pleasure in him because he isn't pleasing him, even though he may be just. Okay? But we are not of them who draw back unto ruin, unto perdition. This perdition, by the way, is outer darkness. A place you don't want to be. A place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But we are of them that are of faith. That's what he goes on in saying. Leading to the salvation or the acquiring of the soul. This is the salvation of the soul that is found in 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. But pleasing God, of course, is essential. Faith is essential in pleasing God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith has to do with diligently seeking the Lord. That doesn't have anything to do with the commandments. That's over and above and beyond the commandments. And God wants us to do more than that which is our duty to do. So, we must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And God set before the nation of Israel the blessing and the cursing, just like He has set before us the blessing and the cursing. Moses said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Live where? In the land flowing with milk and honey, which is a type of the heavenly inheritance. So the blessing and the cursing, the blessing has to do with the heavenly inheritance. A cursing has to do with being denied that inheritance. And you would fall in the category of an unprofitable servant. So, we need to receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, that is life. Then back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This to me is, Paul and I were talking about this morning, Sunday school. When we think about Jesus Christ being cursed, we think about the Gibeonites, the haulers of water and the hewers of wood. Well, we know Jesus Christ is not going to be a hauler of water and a hewer of wood in the kingdom. Why? He's going to be ruling and reigning from the heavens. And he's going to be having servants take care of him. And so this is not, we do not associate this curse of Jesus Christ with servitude in the kingdom. But this curse has to do with identification. Now, what identification is that? Well, in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, it says that the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom thou slew and hanged on a tree. In other words, here, he was slain and he was hung on a tree. Now, this all happened simultaneously when you read in the Gospels. But to hear is a differentiation. They slew him and then hung him on a tree. Now, what is the significance of that? Well, in Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23, I think we will see the significance of being slain and hanged on a tree. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So who is it that is hanged on a tree? The person that has committed a sin that is unto death. And when you slay him, take his life early, he has received the curse of God, and you hang him on a tree so you can see that he has been judged. He has been cursed. Just like the nation of Israel, who were cursed. What was the curse? Well, they didn't have as many kids as they wanted. And their cattle didn't produce as much. And they didn't have as much sheep. And they were driven out of the land. And so when you hang somebody on a tree, you're showing him that his life was taken early and he is under the curse of God. Well, Jesus Christ's life, did it end early? Well, comparing the lifespan of his day, yes. But the thing about it is this, he had not sinned a sin worthy of death. But he was cursed, or shown to be cursed, as if he had sinned a sin unto death. In other words, if you understood the Jewish roots, the Jewish Old Testament, you would appreciate was said in Acts 5. You slew him and you hung him on a tree. You said he was worthy of death and he was cursed of God. Well, praise the Lord for 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God by faith, of course, is what he's talking about here. So Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, he was not worthy of death, But yet they slew him like he was worthy of death, and they hung him on a tree to show that he was cursed of God because his life was taken before it should have been taken. In words, he didn't die of old age. So, when you read about Christ redeeming us from the curse of the law, then you have some appreciation of when you see that he was hanged on the tree, he was cursed of God, you have some appreciation of what that means. Now let's continue. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham. We covered the blessing of Abraham to some degree last Sunday. The blessing of Abraham has to do with not being charged, standing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ unchargeable, and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and entering into the joy of the Lord and ruling and reigning in Christ's coming kingdom. And so the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now this is saved Gentiles. We're not talking about blessings upon lost Gentiles, but unsaved. But notice that it might come on the Gentiles, it might not. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, and we might not. How can we forfeit the blessing of Abraham? By departing from the faith. When you depart from the faith, you stop pleasing God. Now you may be just, okay? You may be behaving. You may be obeying all the commandments. But you know what? You're an unprofitable servant. You're chargeable. And what happens to unprofitable servants? They get to weep and gnash their teeth for a while. That's no fun. Have you ever been angry enough or hurt enough where you have wept and gnashed your teeth? Well, I have. And unfortunately, it was over an unfaithful girlfriend. And I thank God that I found out that she was not to be trusted and she would not be loyal. And the Lord spared me of that and gave me a loyal, faithful, loving wife. And I praise the Lord for that. So, I know what it means to be angry. And I guess, I don't know whether I ground my teeth or not, but I sure did weep over that. That hurt. So, now there are those that will depart from the faith. And if you depart from the faith, you're not going to get the blessing of Abraham. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 tells that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. And those who do are quit listening to the Word of God and start listening to the doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Now, an interesting thing about all that we've been reading, the setting has been in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, and the cursing has been in the Deuteronomy, and the cursing and the blessing has been in Deuteronomy. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 10, it says, "The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude." When Abraham went out, when the Lord invited Abraham to go out and to look at the stars in heaven, Moses said to the children of Israel, these are the youngsters that left Egypt, that are standing at Kadesh Barnea or at the Jordan River to go over and possess the land. He says, "This day ye are as the stars of heaven." And the stars of heaven are those who will enter the kingdom. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, Moses says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou that both thou and thy seed may live. Who is this? It's the stars that can make a choice. The stars that have been called unto His kingdom and glory can make a choice. You can choose the blessing, or you can choose the cursing. And if you choose the cursing, you will not live. Your life will be cut short, and you will be seen as being cursed by God. And therefore, they would be chargeable. Romans chapter 4, the blessing. Verse 13 and 14. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the ceremonial law, but through the righteousness which is of faith. For if they which are of the ceremonial law be heirs, that is, inherit the promise, faith, in the words, pleasing God, is made void. And if faith, in the words, if we can have an heavenly inheritance under the Mosaic law, then Jesus Christ didn't need to be raised from the dead. He needed to be crucified, but he didn't need to be raised from the dead, because you can get the same thing by keeping the ceremonial law. But God said you can't do it that way. It's got to be by faith. Now, it says, and the promise, that is, and this promise, by the way, is not the common salvation. We're not talking about getting saved here. We're talking about inheritance. We're talking about rewards. And if faith is made void, the promise is made of none effect. It is also void. In other words, there's no promise of an inheritance. The only promise is an earthly inheritance, and the heavenly inheritance is not there. We wouldn't be going to heaven, quote unquote. We would be saved, we'd be parked here on the earth, and it would be better than what? The alternative, which would be the lake of fire. And we sure don't want to go into the lake of fire, because that's forever and ever. So, it's the promise that we are looking for, the blessing of Abraham. And we see some of that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice, there are promises, says, plural. There are two promises that God gave Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise that his seed would inherit the earth. God gave Abraham a promise that his seed would inherit a heavenly inheritance. So there are two inheritances, earthly and heavenly. And then in Hebrews 6:15, it tells us that Abraham patiently endured. So after he had patiently enduring is a work of faith. When you do that which is your duty to do, if you've done that, then you don't have to endure anything. You can cut loose. But patiently enduring, whatever your circumstances in life are, you're living by faith. And it says that Abraham obtained the promise. Singular promise, a particular promise, and that promise is a heavenly inheritance. And you find that in 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even age-lasting kingdom life. The word eternal should be translated age-lasting. It's a noun meaning age. And it's the kingdom life that we want to enjoy, that Abraham wanted to enjoy. Where? In that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. So, the writer of Hebrews tells us, be diligent. He says in Hebrews 6:11, and this is for us today, and we desire that every one of you do the same thing, or do the same, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Don't quit. Patiently endure. The hope that we have of glory should give us the stability and the faithfulness that we need to stand unchargeable and well-pleasing to God. May the Lord help us to do that in these days. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the message to each of our hearts. Pray, Father, that you would help us to place a high value on the blessing of Abraham, that we might be willing to patiently endure, that we would be faithful in ministering to the saints, where you said you would not forget that ministry. So Lord, we do pray that you would just bless the message to our to our hearts and our lives, that we might glorify the Father and the Son, for it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.